I have no disclosures to report at this time, or in the future. For those of you who are not familiar with the psychoneuroimmunology theory, it's pretty much based off the idea that individual stressors, whether they're due from social or environmental or any type of illness related, they play a part into your psychological stress, which is believed to have an effect on your neuroendocrine responses to stress. And then additionally, your immunological responses to stress, and also just responses in general to those stressors. And also PS stands for perceived stress, which indicates that people will have, I guess, varying amounts of the amount of stress that they perceive, and then the degree to which that stress can play a role in these additional factors. Going down the line here, all of these factors can then have health outcomes, whether it's a decreased quality of life, cognitive impairments, decreased physical health, or some sort of chronic disease. And then when that comes into play, each of these can then exacerbate each area of the PNI model. Now, if you throw HIV disease into the mix, not only does the disease itself from the different environmental stressors and personal stressors, such as the social stigma associated with the disease, the cost of healthcare or lack of access to healthcare even, and then those additional non-HIV related stressors that I had mentioned previously, that we all have on a daily basis. And then throw antiretroviral therapy into that, the toxic side effects are known to have different physiological responses, which eventually can lead to a type of metabolic syndrome and lipodystrophy with this population as well. And then the disease, again, perceived stress from these different stressors can have psychological effects such as depression, anxiety, sleep disruption, anger, and additional factors as well. And then from there, with the perceived stress and the psychological effects, you get into the neuroendocrine response, which can have an increase in cortisol or norepinephrine, as well as different glucocorticoids. And then the immunological response can have increases in immune cell cytotoxicity, cytokine production, and lymphocyte proliferation. So this PNI model is just to kind of show you how the different stressors that individuals with HIV or AIDS experience can eventually have detrimental health outcomes, whether it's a decreased immunity, increases in disease progression, clinical manifestations of various symptoms, and then also the amount of additional distress that those symptoms place on the individuals, as well as decreases in physical health, the metabolic syndrome I had mentioned, and decreases in quality of life, which all of these factors, again, are going to then play into each of these areas in a cyclical pattern, ultimately increasing disease progression and mortality. So the purpose of this study was looking at the associations of the perceived stress with the different types of physiological stress, such as cortisol, which is the physiological indicator of stress, and other types of psychological stress, such as anxiety, depression, perceived stress, anxiety, and then cortisol, and then also the outcomes with the symptoms and symptom distress was what this study was focusing on. So testing the associations within that model. The demographic characteristics that were recruited in this study, majority of them were male and African American. The mean age was 42. Majority of them were asymptomatic. And as well as majority of them were also taking antiretroviral therapy, and majority of them were also in a lower income bracket, which is representative of the sample in the southeastern area. The sample was recruited in South Carolina, and these demographics are indicative of the general population of HIV infection. The data that was collected, we looked at the perceived stress scale, Spielberger's State Anxiety Inventory, and the Symptom Distress Scale, which had the subscales of frequency of symptoms experienced and the amount of distress that those symptoms placed on the individual. We also wanted to measure the physiological indicator of stress, cortisol, which in the day in the morning is when it's known to be at its highest levels in all individuals. And it's also known that individuals with HIV and AIDS have an increased amount of daily circulating cortisol at chronic levels. So we measured that immediately upon wake, 1 hour after wake, and then 2 hours after wake, and determined the area under the curve for total circulating cortisol in that morning period. And what we had found was there were significant associations with perceived stress and state anxiety, symptom frequency, symptom distress, but not cortisol. There was associations with state anxiety and frequency of symptoms as well, frequency of symptoms. And then also the symptoms, of course, was associated with symptom distress, the state anxiety again, like I said, and also the only association with morning cortisol was seen with frequency of symptoms as well. And then symptom distress also was associated with perceived stress, and then, of course, frequency of symptoms, but not cortisol or state anxiety. So in a nutshell, what these findings are showing is that these data indicate that physiological and perceived stress are strongly associated with HIV-related symptoms. However, only perceived stress was associated with symptom distress. And further, there was not an association between perceived stress or in physiological stress. And by physiological stress, I'm referring to cortisol, which is in agreement with current findings in both HIV and non-HIV infected populations. Just some quick acknowledgments. I'd like to thank the PI of this study, Dr. Gregory Hand, and then also collaborators, Dr. Ken Phillips and Dr. Wesley Dudgeon. Dr. Stephanie Burgess as well, which I've realized now that I forgot to include on the acknowledgments. And also our local South Carolina HIV organizations, which helped with recruitment, PALS, the Ryan White Clinic, and SCAHAG, which stands for South Carolina. I can't remember off the top of my head, so I won't even go there. However, it's HIV and AIDS related. And then the funding sources, the National Institutes of Health and the American College of Sports Medicine, which helped with funding of this cross-sectional analysis. Are there any questions? Yes.
What do you think the implications of those findings are for HIV treatment in terms of perceived stress being something that harms people's health in the long term? Do you think people should have some sort of psychological counseling?
I believe not. The question was what the implications were with perceived stress. Was it with symptoms or, therapy, the medications?
Yeah, or kind of like, do you think that necessitates some sort of therapy, psychiatric help, psychological help?
Yes. I do believe that it is indicative that there is a need for psychological evaluations and also additional treatments to help with whether it's, coping with the HIV disease. And then additional therapies just to help decrease the amount of perceived stress and then additionally also the amount of distress that they experience from the disease itself or the medications they're taking because of the disease, which is only going to exacerbate those additional factors within the PNI model. So I guess to answer your question overall, there is definitely additional need, and current research is showing that coping strategies, whether it's coping with the disease or coping with medications for the disease, that's been showing to have a huge impact on the levels of depression as well as perceived stress that is being seen within the population. And also medical adherence as well. They're more likely to adhere to their medications if they have a better coping, support group, so to speak. Does that answer the question? Okay. All right. Yes. Not entirely. Disappointed, yes, but current research is showing that there really is no association between psychological stress and cortisol levels. So I wasn't really surprised for those findings. Of course, I would like to have seen an association, because hopefully through that we would have been able to show that, you know, by decreasing cortisol or decreasing perceived stress, possibly it would help with the overall cortisol levels, because current animal model research is beginning to show that that cortisol possibly inhibits your immune response to viral diseases, and also can help increase viral, invasion. So the disease progression, it's starting to show through animal models and also in vitro studies that there it's possible that cortisol helps, you know, increase disease progression while also turning off your natural killer cells, which are going to be the ones to kill the virus as well. So there's definitely a need for some sort of interventions to help with decreasing the cortisol levels, because it's known that this population has a chronic levels that they experience daily with circulating cortisol.
Any other questions? Can we also congratulate Jason on his very recent dissertation defense? Can we call you Dr.?
Well, I guess it's not official yet, but it will be within a month, so yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.